many of you, that is that your prayer, just a closer walk with thee? Yeah. We're so glad you're at the Lord's house today, and I pray that you just feel blessed. And thank you for coming. Thank you. Might be some in the parking lot, some listed on the website from time to time. We're glad for each person that's a part of the Lord's fellowship as we worship Him together. It's a good day, beautiful day that the Lord has given us. Maybe pray. Father, we remember that the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And Father, we know what an awesome thing it is that we can come into this place, especially designated place, anointed, blessed for your service. Thank you for the fellowship that we have with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you for the fellowship we have with you. Father, this is your hour. May everything that we do be pleasing to you. May you be honored, worshiped, praised, thanked for being such an awesome God, the God who blesses us so tremendously. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. We welcome you all this morning. It's good to see you. We will start, as we do every Sunday morning, with a hymn sing. That will be in your hymnals at 4:45. Sweet Hour of Prayer. We're doing all three verses. It's on the board. Sweet Hour of Prayer, as we do our hymn sing this morning. As we stand, please. Thank you. And everyone said, amen. Welcome someone this morning. I have a few announcements for you this morning. We will be sure everybody knows where to be on time and where to go and how to do that. So we're going to go over some things for you. First, we'll start with Wednesday night. I want to make sure you all know that we come and be with us on Wednesday night prayer service and Bible study. We have a good time here in the Lord, and you need to come and be a part of that. There will be a pastor search, a youth pastor search committee at 7:30, right, Kathy? Right after the Bible study. So you members know where to be at 7:30 Wednesday night, okay? Let's remember also the Annie Armstrong offering. The Annie Armstrong offering is continuing on through the month of April, so you don't have a lot of time left. So please do what you need to do and what the Lord leads you to do. We will have an important call conference on April the 30th, and it will be from the nominating committee. We'll be presenting to you the youth leader, You know, we just voted a few weeks back to do this, and so we have a new youth leader that we'll be presenting to you for approval, and also a new Sunday school director, so that will be done too. So be a kind of a busy day there, so please be in your place, and we'll go from there. Golden Agers lunch, we've got it all set, and by the way, we've got room for you. If you decided you want to go here at the last minute, we've got a bus coming, and it's a 25 passenger, so we've got 14, I think, right now, Brenda, 13 or 14 that got confirmed, so we've got room for 10 more. If you want to come, just be here at 10:30 on Thursday, and we'll go over and have some food and fellowship together at the Classic in Denton. And so it's a nice little drive over there through the country, and believe me, I've made it hundreds and hundreds of times in my last 40 years with Culp. I go right by it, so I know just about where that is. So, yes, sir.
That's an actual picture of the Classic restaurant.
Oh, it is.
Off their website. So,
well,
there you go.
It looks like a couple of things I've had to eat before there. I go by there a lot. So pork chops or something else. I'm going to take.
I think they're on there. That's why I think
that. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that so much. All right, so Golden Agers, let's have a good time in the Lord and fellowship together. Mother's Day breakfast, and Jeff is a leader. He's been thinking about this and talking about this for a while, and we're going to have a pancake breakfast on May the 14th, Mother's Day. Breakfast will be served at 8 o'clock, and cooks will arrive at 6 o'clock, and all invited bring a friend. And Rylan, I know you're going to be happy with the pancakes. You're going to be ready, aren't you? She loves pancakes. So all of you, please plan. Jeff, you have anything you want to add to that?
Just make sure you invite somebody. Okay. Bring a friend, bring your neighbor.
All right.
Even if you don't like them, bring them.
All right. Okay. All right. Then revival service, very important time of the life of our church. I want you to know how we need to really, really get behind this revival. We need to pray for it, and we need to bring a friend. Bring someone with you, and we'll have a good time in the Lord. But let's have a revival. This revival starts May the 7th through the 10th. Reverend Kenny Wallace will be here. I want to run over the times with you just a little bit. The revival service will start Sunday evening, as far as the Pastor Kenny Wallace goes. At 6:30 on Sunday evening. And then Monday through Wednesday, it'll be 7 o'clock. So it'll give you a chance to get your... just a little bit later than that, than normal. So please make plans to attend the revival. Have I overlooked any announcements at this point?
I think there's going to be some special music, isn't there?
There will be special music every night. Yes, there will be. Working on that diligently right now, so it'll be happen. Okay? Yes.
Okay. There.
Okay. All right. You know that it's a great time to be together and time to work and have visitors here for church. So let's work hard on Bible school. I've said this. I'd say it every Bible school because I mean it. I always get a blessing out of Bible school. It's a really heartfelt blessing. So be here and be part of that, if you will, please. Okay. Seems like there's something else, but I guess not. Okay. Anything at all? I was thinking I had another announcement here, and I was scanning over and make sure I didn't forget something, but I guess that's okie-dokie. Okay. Oh, I know you do have, we will have communion next Sunday. So don't forget that, too. That's important. That's what it was. All righty. So if there are no other announcements, we'll go to our prayer concerns at this point in time. Are there those that anyone wants to put on our prayer list this morning? Yes.
Can y'all put Justin on there? He's going to be having surgery on his shoulder.
Okay. Tonda?
I have three praise reports.
Okay.
Evan is doing well. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And thank the church for helping us pray for them.
Wonderful. Like good news, absolutely.
Yes.
God is able, that's for sure. Anyone else? Yes, Rosina.
I'd like to put Kevin Hancock.
Kevin.
Kevin.
Okay.
Hancock. Mm-hmm. I would say he's probably in his 30s. His mother is Kim Hancock, and granddad's Eddie Harris. Some of you may know him. He is seriously ill with viral meningitis in the Rowan Hospital. They're hoping to transfer him somewhere else. I do not know if that's happened yet. And he has been put on ventilator, so he's very sick. Please remember me.
Okay, we will. Okay.
And his family.
We will. Tony?
And thanks for praying for Houston. He went through his heart surgery really well.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Love the praise reports. Somebody else. Was Tony?
Yeah, I don't pray for Ruth. She's having a hard time with her knee.
Okay.
And Penny Smith is home from the hospital.
I'm sorry?
Penny Smith. She's home from the hospital.
She's home from the hospital. Another praise report. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Skinny. Amen.
Process. And it's been down this road,
they
know what I'm talking
about. Yes,
sir. And I like to thank the church, everyone that lifted up a prayer on my behalf. All the callers, all of their prayers. Everybody know how much I appreciate everybody. It's been done for me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brother Kenny. It's good to have you back and whole. Your body healed. That's wonderful. Anyone else? Let's pray for the revival. Let's keep that in our prayer. It's something that we have to remember to pray for. And revival's got to start where?
With us.
That's right. Absolutely. All right. If there are no other requests, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. Lord, we thank you always for the blessings. But we thank you for this Lord's Day. This Lord's Day, you've given us all the privilege and the honor and the glory to come and worship your name. And Lord, we know that the people are here today, and we came, Lord, seeking a blessing. And we came, Lord, here to be a blessing. And if we can always remember that, Lord, you will be in the midst of us, and you will be blessing us as well. But Lord, as we think, go forward, and we're thinking about things for our church, Lord, we pray for our church. We pray for Barbie's Grove. We pray, Lord, that we'll get excited. We'll get excited for you. And Lord, we pray for our revival. We pray for Brother Kenny as he'll be coming, Brother Kenny Wallace, as he will be coming and lead us. We pray for that revival and help us all to be excited to be a part of that time. And then, Lord, as we've listened today, we've heard so many praise reports. We just thank you, Lord, for the praise reports that we've heard this morning. Lord, we know, Lord, that you're able. And we know, Lord, that you're always available for us. But now, Lord, there are a few that we need to remember, Lord, that stands in the need of a touch from you, Lord. And we pray for Justin. And we pray for him today, Lord. And we pray for Kevin Hafcock, Lord, who is very ill. We lift up him to you today, Lord. And we pray for Miss Ruth this morning, Lord. We pray for her and the problems she's having with her knees. We ask, Lord, that you would bless her and heal her body. And then, Lord, as we go forward today in our service, Lord, we ask that you be with each one. Lord, we're so thankful for all those who support us each and every Sunday in the music and the sound and all the things that goes on. But then, Lord, we also thank you for our pastor who comes and leads us. And, Lord, we ask that you be with him today, Lord, as he presents a service for us today. And, Lord, that we'll be very careful to thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you've given us. In your name we do pray. Amen. As I looked at a song for praise this morning, I saw this song in the hymnal. And I started reading it, and I thought, well, you can't ask for a better song of praise than take time to be holy. And that's what this song says. And I want you to look carefully at these verses here. Let's look at the first one. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. That's something we need to remember. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide in him always. And do what? And feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. That's what we're here to do. Fellowship. Help those who are weak. That's what fellowship is for. Forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. That's gospel. That's something you can take home with you. And that's something that'll preach, Pastor, won't it? Absolutely. Let's all stand and sing, Take Time to Be Holy.
Jeff showed all those pictures of food and pancakes, and everybody said, hurry up, preacher. You know, it's obvious that in the United States today, there's a lot of folks that just don't want anything to do with Christianity. They just have absolutely no desire to even talk to you about Christianity. It's also obvious that many folks have been hurt by church actions. And I know on my phone a couple of months ago, something popped up about why I no longer go to church. And they had about 20 people that said this is what happened at their church. And I thought, well, I wouldn't go back to that church either. I wouldn't quit church, but I wouldn't go back to that church after what they did. You know, it's also obvious that many folks that are Christian and are trying to live the Christian life don't really enjoy it. You know, we feel guilty. We feel like we don't measure up. We have these lists of standards that we feel like we ought to keep. And when we don't do those, we think, you know, I'm just not a real good Christian. And I'm praying today that the Lord will help me say what's on my mind and on my heart. And I'm not sure it's going to really how it's going to come out, but help you to understand there's a different way to live, something that can set you free. And I'm praying that he'll give you spiritual ears to hear what maybe even I don't say. Now let me begin by asking you a question. Are you a lover or a rule keeper? Are you a lover or a rule keeper? Now your answer to that question will tell a lot about how much you enjoy your faith, and also tell you about how attractive your brand of Christianity is to the people that you're around that aren't Christian. Now you think about when we go back to the New Testament, the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day, I've read that they had 613 rules that you had to keep to be a good Jewish believer. 613. That you know, staggers my mind. And the scribes and Pharisees kept a lot of them, but from what Jesus said, evidently they fudged on some of them that were to their advantage. And most of the common people, I doubt, even knew all 613 of them, much less tried to follow them. And the scribes and Pharisees, as you know from reading your New Testament, oh boy, they were just so quick to spy on Jesus. And any time he violated one of their rules, they had a hissy fit. I can't believe you healed somebody on the Sabbath. I can't believe you sat down to eat and didn't wash your hands in the proper way. We can't believe your disciples are out there rubbing some wheat on their hands and getting rid of the chaff and eating it here on the Sabbath. On and on and on again, they were so bent out of shape about what Jesus and his disciples were doing that broke all of their little rules. Now, I told the group Wednesday night that when I was a teenager, it was in my heart just strongly to serve the Lord. We had a really super youth group that really had a heart for the Lord. And we would hound our youth leaders. How do we be good Christians? And we would hound the pastor. How do we be good Christians? And some revival preachers would come in and, you know, be really interactive with the youth group. And we'd ask them, how do you be good Christians? And most of the time, it came down to this. Here's some things you do. You go to church. You tithe, you read your Bible, you pray, you keep yourself pure till marriage, and you don't drink. And the other set of rules, you don't lie, you don't steal, you don't fool around, you don't do, you don't drink, you don't do some other things. It all came down to a list of rules of what we did or didn't do. And, you know, basically, they turned me into a rule keeper. That my faith was dependent on how many rules I kept. And I tried, just like most of you. We tried. And it was helpful. But there's not a lot of joy in that. Now, on Wednesdays, we've also been studying the parables. And I want to put two of the ones that we've looked at recently together to see if I can help you to understand the point I want to make. The first one is the parable of the prodigal son that we find in Luke 15. And of course, you know the story of the prodigal son. The dad has two sons. The younger one comes and says, hey, I want my share of the inheritance. He takes it. He goes off. He blows it in righteous, sinful living. One day when he's in the hog pen, he says, you know, this doesn't make sense. I'm about to starve. And my dad has hired servants that have plenty to eat. So I'm going to go back to my dad and plead for forgiveness. Plead for just to be a servant. I don't have to be a son. But of course, you know the story. His dad sees him coming. He runs. He hugs him. Says, give him a robe, give him shoes, give him food. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party because he's home. But the point I want us to concentrate on is the older brother. Look at Luke 15, verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Now, this elder brother was a rule keeper. What does he say about himself? These many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. He says, I did everything right. I kept all the rules. I served you, and you didn't even give me a goat. You see, he had done everything right, but he didn't have a relationship really with his father. He was keeping the rules so he could please the father, but the relationship was missing. He had no joy in keeping the rules. He resented the father for not giving him a goat, and he resented his younger brother and had no joy when he was reclaimed. You know, a lot of rule keepers get angry with God and stay angry with God. I felt this way at times. Lord, I've done this and this and this and this. Okay, I'll use myself as an example. The Baptist State Paper, the Biblical Recorder, used to come very regularly. And I'd look in there, you know, years ago, and I'd say, oh, man, this guy just got called to this great big church. I don't understand that. He cheated his way through seminary. And I know he cheated because I graded his papers. Or this guy's a really important guy in the Baptist State Convention, and he won't pay his bills. And I said, now, Lord, I keep all the rules. How come they're getting the promotions and the recognition and I'm not? You know, it's real easy when we're trying to serve the Lord and we keep the rules and we, you know, why didn't my loved one die? Why didn't I get that promotion? why is I have this sickness? You see, this guy had kept all the rules, but he had no relationship and no joy, and he resented his father. Now let's turn over to a separate parable, and that's in Luke 7. And the Wednesday night crowd will remember these. Luke 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went down into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known that who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love me most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom you forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and saith unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth much. He saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee. In the last verse 30, he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. Now here's a woman, she knew she hadn't kept the rules. She knew she had messed up. She knew she was unworthy. She knew that there was nothing in her life that would count for anything. But she was a lover. She did everything in her power to say, Jesus, I love you. I know who you are. I have a relationship with you. And you know, she left there forgiven and with peace. It's just two sides of the two separate things. We can keep the rules, or we can be a lover of Jesus. And for many people in church, it's all about keeping the rules. And if we keep the rules, we're okay. But what Jesus wants is a relationship. He wants us to be those who fellowship and love with him. You see, our faith takes on a whole new meaning, a whole new realm of depth. And when we walk with Jesus, moves up from a life of rule keeping to a life of loving Jesus, a life of in fellowship with him. Now, that doesn't mean we go around here and live carelessly and sinfully and ungodly. That's not the point at all. The point is that it's, you know, if you love somebody, you don't want to hurt them. If you love somebody, you want the best for them. Now, I realize, and as I've said to some of you, and I've said before, nobody knows what goes on whenever you go home to your house and shut the door and pull the drapes and the blinds and, you know, between husband and wife. It can be good or it can be bad. And only and we can come to church and smile. You know, nobody knows but you. Nobody knows what went on with Pamela and myself but us. But you see, and I know there are marriages where it's sort of like, I'll do this and you do this and I'll do this and I'll do this, and there's not really much fellowship. I've told this, but I've got to tell it again. There was a an obituary years ago that said, so-and-so's died and leaves behind a loving wife of 50 years or whatever. And it sounded like, oh, man, they just like this. But somebody that knew the family says, huh, he's lived in the basement for the last 15 years. And they had separate mailboxes with locks on them out in front of the house. You can say one thing in the paper, but they had no relationship. They didn't separate. They didn't divorce, but they had no relationship. Jesus died to have a relationship with you. Amen. Jesus didn't die just so you could keep some rules. He wants fellowship with you. And that's what matters, is to express our love. You know, in a real marriage, we express our love to one another. We do those things that are best for one another. We want to please one another. We don't want to harm one another. It all comes down to that relationship that is so important. And that's what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to be a lover and not a rule keeper. I'm not sure this fits, but I'm going to tell it anyway. The last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, Pamela got where she loved to lay in bed or sit in bed and read. And I'd go to bed and she'd be reading, and maybe I'd get up at midnight and go to the bathroom. She's still reading. She's still reading sometimes at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, because she didn't have a job, I didn't care. And I can fix my own breakfast. So many mornings I would get up, fix my breakfast, and she'd be sleeping in. And maybe I'd go to the bank, go to the grocery store, or mow the yard or whatever, and come back in, she'd still be asleep. And now if I hear her stirring, I might go in and lay down beside of her for a few minutes. And sometimes we'd talk quietly. But a lot of times I'd lay flat and she'd lay her head right here on my shoulder and go back to sleep. And the first few times I'd lay there and think, man, I need to be working on sermon. I need to be, I got this list of stuff I needed to do. And then one day the Holy Spirit said something to me. He said, Ed, you stood by a lot of caskets. You never heard the surviving spouse say, I held my loved one too much. I said, you're right. They always say, I wish I could hold them one more time. And after that, when she'd lay her head on my shoulder and go to sleep, I might go back to sleep, or I might lay there and work on a sermon or a newsletter or a to-do list. But I realized making her feel loved and appreciated and at peace was far more important than my to-do list. And you see, that's what the Lord wants from you. He wants you to be his lover. He wants to be in fellowship with you. It's far more important than just keeping some rules. And did you know Jesus agrees with me, everything I've said? Turn with me to Matthew 22. And you'll find that Jesus agrees with me. Matthew 22, verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he'd put the Sadducees to silence, they were together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This lawyer says, Jesus, all right, big boy, tell us which of the 600, he didn't mention it there, which ones of the 613 commandments, 613 rules that we have, is the most important. And Jesus had 613 to pick from. And he says, the most important thing you can ever do is have a love relationship with your Heavenly Father. He said, that is more important than any other thing you do. That is the most vital relationship. And then out of that, you'll be able to love yourself and you'll be able to love your neighbor. But it all begins with our relationship with the Father. Now, I wish I'd have known this. You know, I wish somebody, you know, when I was 65 years ago would explain this to me. Because I've been the elder brother far too many times. But I'm beginning to learn what pleases the Lord is not how many rules I keep, but how much I love Him. How much time I spend with Him. How much I fellowship with Him. And you see, that was the purpose of the Garden of Eden. It says He created Adam and Eve, and He would come and He'd fellowship, and they would walk the garden together. And that's what Jesus came to do, was to make it possible for you and me to fellowship. Remember at the crucifixion? The veil of the temple was torn apart, top to bottom, not bottom up like it would have been if we had torn it. And somebody says that veil was about yay thick. So, you know, it would have taken superhuman, you know, strength to do it. In other words, it took God's strength to tear it apart so that man was no longer separated from God. He could be in the presence of God forever. We have a tremendous privilege. A tremendous privilege. The Almighty God of the universe that spoke it into existence and that will sum it all up and walk with us throughout eternity. Right now, He's more interested in you loving Him than in the rules you keep. I encourage you, be more than just a rule keeper. Do your very best to fall in love with Jesus. You know, when you enter into that fellowship with the Lord, that love relationship, the rules fall into place. You know, I'm talking about Pamela and myself, you know, the fellowship was worth far more than anything else. But the dishes still got done. The floor still got swept and mopped. The clothes still got done. But the fellowship, and that's what the Lord wants with you, the fellowship. The love. We can be the elder brother, but that's no joy and that's no fun. Or we can be like the woman who knows we're not worthy, but oh, we sure want Jesus to know how much we love Him. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment? We're going to have a time of invitation. If someone here needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. Also, if you need to come to the altar, we invite you to come. But right where you are, just express in your own words how much you love Jesus and how much you care for Him. If you'll look up here for a minute, Ryland comes this morning expressing her desire to profess faith in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and to be baptized into the church. And so, is it your desire to receive her this way? Then if you'll just raise your hand. All right. She waits baptism to become a member of the church. And I want you to come by and love on her as we leave, because it's so important to know and for her to know that you're going to be setting a good example for her and you're going to be praying for her in the days to come. And we're so happy for you to make a difference between now and eternity because you loved us. May we pray. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.